Tuesday, November 21st, 2006. Upon further review, episode number 24. 24 hours in a day, 24 episodes, and upon further review. You see the connection?
Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And our guest star in studio today is...
It's Russ.
Hey, Russ, welcome back. Russ is actually out here visiting the East Coast, and so he's stopping by.
So what's your first impression of Eagle Studios, Russ?
It's a very impressive layout, very impressive, because it makes me sound silky smooth, and anything that can do that
is fine by me. Okay.
So we have a few things that we're going to be talking about today. As usual, we have got three things on the docket. We're going to start by talking about Thanksgiving. That's right. We're going to be reviewing Thanksgiving, reviewed Halloween, so we think it's time to review something that has lots of turkey and food and things which we appreciate. And it also ties in with the vidcast at the end of the show. So Thanksgiving will be up first. Then we're going to move on to review Wikipedia. And I have some things to say about that. I imagine Russell has some things to say about it. Issues with Wikipedia, but we'll talk about that in that section. And then we're going to conclude by reviewing Feed Me Booby. Booby? Booby?
Booby.
Booby? Booby, right. They pronounce it Bubby, and I'm still not like Bubby Brister, the old quarterback for the Steelers. So I think that they haven't. I think there's still some confusion as to how it's pronounced. But Russ swears that this is how. That's how you pronounce it. So we're going to review them. They were submitted to us for review, and we will have a chance to see this video cast, which is about eating and food as provided by a Jewish grandmother.
So it's not about eating. It's about.
Well, it's about
cooking.
Food. It's about cooking. Yeah.
It's just cooking the food.
Yeah. And a Jewish grandmother. That's it.
Yes, and a Jewish grandmother.
Okay. All right.
And then in each episode at the end, she feeds her grandson with a spoon. It's really creepy. That's the title.
And asks why he hasn't gotten married to a nice girl yet. It's very...
And he goes, feed me, Bobby. Feed me. Oh, feed me.
Feed me, feed me. Anyway, so that's what we're going to... It's going to be on the docket for today. One thing I want to mention before we get started very quickly is I wanted to thank Meg for dropping a comment for us about Halloween. Apparently, there was something called... It wasn't called Cabbage Night where she lived. It was called Mischief Night. But it did involve people throwing, you know, cabbages, you know, eggs and, you know, toilet papering houses and things. So all the stuff I mentioned in the Halloween episode, in fact, is something which she is familiar with.
I said I was familiar with that.
You just don't like the name.
I just said I hadn't been familiar with it being called Cabbage Night.
Well, okay.
Have you ever heard of Cabbage Night, Russ?
If by that you mean Devil's Night, then yes.
See, it has many names.
That's fine. Many names and many traditions all involve destroying other people's property. That's basically what it comes down to. All right, so let us get cracking on the first holiday. The second holiday that we're going to be reviewing, Thanksgiving. And... I guess, you know, we're recording this a couple of days before Thanksgiving itself, and I heard on sports radio the other day when I was listening to it that this is apparently the best holiday for guys because it's a holiday that has essentially food, football, and doesn't require you to remember to get gifts. So apparently this is the ideal holiday, so I've been told, for guys. I don't know if this is accurate, but I'm just throwing it out there. And according to Wikipedia, which we thought we would tie it in by discussing it, Thanksgiving is a one-day holiday to give thanks. In the United States, it's celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. In Canada, it's celebrated on the second Monday in October. In the United Kingdom, it's another name for the Harvest Festival, which is held in churches across the country. And in Singapore, nobody's ever heard of it. So that's
so it's
what
done on Monday
is.
In Canada. Why is the United States retarded and does it on a Thursday? So we always get the Thursday off and then have to go back to work on Friday.
Well, because a lot of people do get the Fridays off. It just depends on, you know, the things that...
So in America, we're setting it up so that we automatically can, like, request a 4-day weekend?
Yes. I'd say that's accurate.
Okay, but not everyone. Only, like, certain special people get it. So then the rest of the people who aren't... I guess it's survival of the fittest American style, as always.
I suppose that's possible. And it fits that it's survival of the fittest, because Thanksgiving's all about survival. Because, of course, the original creation of the holiday was when the Native Americans were kind enough to save the pilgrims who had come to them so that the pilgrims could slaughter them several years later. I mean, that's not what happened. They did, however, provide meals, and there was, I guess basically it was to give thanks for surviving another year in this, at the time, not very hospitable land. And so that's where Thanksgiving gets its origins. And now we all know the deal. Turkey, football, family, stuffing. Am I forgetting other things about it?
I think that's about it.
Russ, your thoughts?
For me, flying to New York once a year and renting a stupid yellow Chevy Aveo and driving all over New York State. And I am thankful for those things.
It's totally true.
Well, I like pumpkin pie.
Well, that's true. Well, I mean, I guess what I was going to say was the good thing about Thanksgiving is it hasn't really become commercialized, right? Because essentially it's always based on like Christmas, you know, you have Christmas commercialism that's coming up and you've just gotten past Halloween commercialism.
You know, that's really annoyed me that everything now is Christmas. As soon as Halloween is over, everything is about Christmas. They've totally just gone past Thanksgiving. I don't know if this is true anywhere else, but in New York, everything is Christmas now. There hasn't been any Thanksgiving. And I mean, I don't know if it's because there's no things, but there's totally like Thanksgiving things that people can do. I mean, there's not Thanksgiving songs, but there's totally Thanksgiving things that people could do.
Yeah, I mean, well, but I guess that's it. Well, one of the things that people used to do on Thanksgiving is football games. Like, you know, not even watching them, but also doing them. Like, there's a lot of turkey bowls, these kind of impromptu, because everybody comes back from school or work or wherever it is that they go, and they've all come back to be able to sort of reunite. To me, it seems like sort of the ultimate family holiday, because there's no religious thing associated with it. It's just, you know, getting together. Although, as I was reminded by somebody when I brought this up, they're like, well, yes, unless you're Native American, in which case your people were slaughtered on this day. It's like, right, because there's no holiday ever that has, that is
they
free.
Weren't slaughtered on this day.
Well, it just sort of symbolized the beginning of the potential slaughter. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to have a holiday I don't have to feel guilty about, you know, like, I thought Thanksgiving was the closest you could get, because you're actually just giving thanks, but...
Has there been any theories of whether or not the story is not actually true? Like, the whole holiday's based on a big lie?
In like Columbus Day?
Can we put that on Wikipedia, that it was all just a fake lie?
No, we'll explain why. Harveth and, you know, Johansson, like the two Wikipedia editors who give a damn, are going to prevent you from doing it.
Oh, okay.
But I guess, I mean, I guess that's the question. Is Thanksgiving sort of the most...
Hypocritically?
No. I was going to say theoretically inoffensive holiday. Leaving aside the Native American thing, which is a significant problem. Like you say, they weren't slaughtered on that day. I mean, that was sort of a, I don't know, a meeting of hope or something like that. So is that the way we look at Thanksgiving, or is this just another example of a holiday that, you know, is...
Well, I mean, people would say that it continues stereotypes, right? It's not that people were coming together necessarily as equals. It's coming together to stereotypes. But yeah, I mean, I guess... They usually do the Thanksgiving play with the nice, meek, half-dressed Indians sitting down with the fully dressed pilgrims.
Whipping out a corn on the cob, just being like, right. Here, take this.
Right.
Eat it before you starve. I guess so. I don't know. It's one of those things that I remember I always liked it because it was always, we hadn't even arrived at Christmas yet, so I knew that was still sort of in the background, plus I got to eat great food. And I know my father was never a big fan of it because he didn't like any of the food they served. He was just like, if you lined up the foods I hate most, it would be turkey 1, cranberry sauce 2, stuffing 3, green beans 4, like sweet potatoes 5. Like, he just hated
that
all the
sucks.
Food at Thanksgiving. It was just one after the other. And for me, it's like turkey, definitely up there. Stuffing, one of my favorite things ever. You know, pumpkin pie is decent. Apple pie is great. Corn on the cob is great. Like all the sort of traditional Thanksgiving stuff, I like it. So,
well, you know what's particularly exciting is that they say it's supposed to be really, really windy for the Macy's Day Parade. And you know what that means?
It means the floats are going to be flying all over and risking life and limb, babe.
Exactly. Possible death.
SpongeBob's going for a ride.
All yeah. right. So
that's pretty much it.
Russ, what's your rating? 1 to 10, no half points.
Thanksgiving is by far, and this is without any sarcasm, by far my favorite holiday.
Oh.
It is a secular holiday. I appreciate not having to worry about what religion I am when I'm celebrating it.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. Which I'm not always sure what that is, so I don't like thinking about it on a holiday. So I give it a 9 out of 10. It's an awesome holiday when I get to see my family.
Yeah.
Friends.
That's true. It is a kind of a quintessential American-Canadian holiday.
Yeah.
It's not something that's become global, and it's not something that has any kind of religious base to it. And it's not something that is, I think, has become completely, maybe this is the point you were trying to make, completely capitalized.
Well, right? I mean, there's not much you can do with it, right? Like, I mean,
unless
you're going to...
you're Tyson Chicken.
I'm just going to say, if you're a turkey owner, but like, how are you going to commercialize things? Like, and again, the X Games 5, sponsored by Thanksgiving. Like,
well, I guess the Macy's Day Parade is,
I
you
guess,
know, parades
can... To pump people up about Macy's? I mean, I don't know. I think Thanksgiving is probably the least commercialized. Plus, I also think just where it sits in the year means that it's more likely it's not going to impact Christmas. It's, you know, you've got Christmas that you worry about, and you've got Halloween just before it. So
I still think it should be like Canada, like on a Monday or a Friday. I think this Thursday stuff is BS. because we city workers aren't getting Friday off. I'm having to use a perfectly fine holiday vacation day to
this
take
coming from
Friday
the woman
off.
Who got Veterans Day, and which was the day after Veterans Day, and Election Day off for the city.
Yes.
It's a tough
But one. I'm not getting Thanksgiving
You're
Day
not
off.
Getting Thanksgiving.
The day after Thanksgiving off.
Other people trying to give thanks to you. What do you want?
So I'm going to give it an 8.
I'm with Russ on this one. This is a 9 out of 10 for me as well. I've always liked Thanksgiving because it sets up for Christmas in my case, because the food's great, and because it's always traditionally been a chance to watch football and hang out with family. Very sort of traditional, straight-ahead stuff, but I like Thanksgiving. So I'd say a 9.
Yeah, I think it's a really great family holiday. I used to always make the gravy.
I know. There was this one time when you went to someone else's place, and they did the gravy for you, and it was a very bitter time.
Yeah, it was your mom's place.
It was wailing and gnashing. Oh. Right, so...
moving on to Wikipedia.
All right, so are you going with us on the 9? Or are you gonna,
sure.
All right, so a 9 out of 10 for Thanksgiving. Now, we found this information, ladies and gentlemen, on Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. And for those of you who don't know, you can find Wikipedia at wikipedia.org. And essentially what Wikipedia is an encyclopedia where anyone can contribute articles and anybody can edit it so that it becomes a completely democratic, purely global type of, you know, system. The problem is that it doesn't work this way. I mean, I'll let, you know, Russ and Clea comment on it, but the problem is that it's not fully free and it's not actually fully democratic in the way that they claim. And I've just had some experience with this recently, which I'll talk about. But anyway, that's the argument, is that it's a thing which can be basically created by somebody and then edited and sorted by everyone around the world so that eventually it comes to some semblance of the assembled wisdom, let's say, of the world about a given topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool concept. How did it originally start? Because it's got a lot of information on it. Did people like... I mean, how long has it been around?
I don't remember when it started, but I know the guy who created it was actually giving a speech in Boston, I think a couple of months ago, and talking about how it was like really important. Because the people who do this, it's basically volunteers who, you know, edit and do all this stuff. And they sort of see this as kind of a holy cause. Like, it really has this kind of democratic approach to the world. And they think that Wikipedia reflects that a little bit like Craigslist, I guess.
Well, why don't you guys wiki Wikipedia and find out?
There you go.
Good idea.
Tune in live at, well, not live, recorded and...
Live on tape, as we give you Wikipedia. Yes, Wikipedia is a multilingual web-based free content. It was launched in 2001.
Wow.
Wow. As a complement to the expert-written, now-defunct Newpedia.
Okay.
Operated by the nonprofit Wikimedia Foundation, created by Larry Sanger and Jimmy Wales. Yeah, Jimmy Wales is the guy that I was talking about. Larry Sanger actually left it and said that he's had some issues with it since then, issues with Wikipedia.
He left in 2002.
Right.
Then I believe he co-wrote My Super Ex-Girlfriend, which was really a downturn.
That was quality. Everyone was able to edit that, I heard.
So they already had information from the Newpedia? That
right.
might have been kind of like the base.
Well, but see, that's part of the issue, too, is that a lot of people have said the problem with Wikipedia is that the sort of range of expertise on these articles is all over the place. You may have some people who are experts who are reviewing it, and then again, it may be just some... people who are, you know, just random people who are doing it. And yes, even if you have a group of volunteers saying, I think this is good and I think this isn't, the truth is that, you know, the sort of 0.7%, I think they figured out that something like 100 people basically manage all of Wikipedia, if you really get down to it. And those 100 people are not going to have, they're not like the star chamber, right? Like, they're not going to have experience in all of these things. And so you've had people, experts, sort of post these things and are like, well, I don't think that's true. And it's like, and who are you again? So, I mean, in practice, I don't think Wikipedia really does work as being an effective, vettable source. And I get from students all the time papers with people quoting Wikipedia. Like, that's the number one thing they immediately go to. Well, according to Wikipedia, blah, blah, blah. And there have been a lot of examples of people who have gone and found just errors and mistakes and problems on Wikipedia, and people are using this as like a legit source. So.
Russ, what happened to that thing that you posted? You posted that fake thing, and it was finally... Did someone else take it off, or do you think that... Or was it the editors that took it off?
It's hard to say. We did this on the MEP report. Presumably, it was one of our listeners who thought it was funny, but also inappropriate for
right.
me to say that Wesley Willis smoked crack cocaine. And
which
so
turned out to be
it.
True.
Not only did they take it down, but they banned my IP for some amount of time. So,
well, how would someone else be able to do... Would someone else be able to do that?
What? Anyone can edit anything.
No, but someone else could ban you?
That I'm unclear on.
Okay.
Mean, since there is supposedly no authority and it's completely egalitarian, you kind of wonder, wow, right. I'm just going to ban everybody else. Wikipedia is mine. Right. I control it. Why not?
It becomes Unipedia at that point. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is just an example of sort of the attitude. So I found this webpage, The Road, on Wikipedia. So I tried to put my band, The Road, listed. Because they have things on there like, The Road, a song by some random band I've never heard of. The Road refers to this. I was like, The Road refers to a progressive rock band from Boston, which is true. So it got removed 3 times. This last time I get this pleasant message from somebody who says...
And this is on the site.
This is not... Well, this message comes to me.
Oh. So it's
I have removed the band entry at The Road 3 times. And will continue until, as I've mentioned each time, there is a usable wiki link. If you feel, because we don't have a wiki link because we don't have a Wikipedia page. So you might think, oh, just create a Wikipedia page. If you feel that the band meets Wikipedia's music notability guidelines, which I'll mention in a minute, then create a page for them and re-add a link at the disambiguous page. Never mind what that is. Until then, the entry is utterly useless because it does not lead anyone to anywhere they can find out more information about the band. And before you think to simply re-add the band with an external link to their website, let me tell you that this is not allowed on disambiguation pages. Says Hrafen, whoever the hell this clown is, who decided that he is the expert on these things. Now, here's what it says to get to be considered a music notable, okay? To put my band on here. Here's what I have to have done. We need to have released 2 or more albums on a major label or one of the more, quote, important indie labels, have a record certified gold or higher in at least one large or medium-sized country. So I guess if you're a Singapore star, you're out of luck. Has become the most prominent representative of a notable style or of the local scene of a city. I mean, are you kidding me? Is this Wikipedia or not? Like, basically,
no,
what this
Greg.
Is somebody is dictating what things get to go on there or not. And I'm telling you, some of the stuff that was on that page were things from bands that I've never heard of, and they are not notable, and they've not
find
released
me one.
2 albums on these things.
Oh, find me one.
Well, I mean,
because that sounds completely understandable and reasonable, Greg. They don't want every Joe Schmo who has a band and thinks they can rock.
Is this Wikipedia or not?
It does seem to conflict. I mean, if the theory behind Wikipedia is that you make a doodle on a folded up paper napkin and then you put it into the museum next to the piece of art, that's sort of what Wikipedia is, right?
No, I don't think so. I think they are trying to create a legitimate document, albeit a living, breathing one that people can contribute to, but albeit
100 people, including people called Hrafen living in Norway somewhere who decided what is notable and what isn't.
I am Wikipedia. You are nothing.
Like, seriously, and the guy clearly has to be sitting around going, no, I shall declare the road. The road is mine. You are not the road. Like, shut up. Who the hell are you? And then the attitude is just like, if you think you're going to do this, I'm like, if you think I'm going to care about what some clown with no life thinks somewhere about the road. I mean, look, roads may refer to a song by Portishead from their 1994 album Dummy. There was a platinum seller. How about Roads, a song by Blindside from their 2004 album About a Burning Fire? I saw that on Billboard for 5 weeks, didn't I? I mean, give me a freaking break. I'm irritated. No, but I mean, it's not so much that he's taking away the Road article. It's the fact that the sort of, this I think symbolizes what editors think. I think, and there's been a lot of charges of elitism sort of leveled at them where they just, even if you try to put something on there about, let's say, for example, I've seen there was a podcast on Israel that was trying to come up on there. I think it was Israelisms actually. It got deleted because they were like, no, it's just far too political. It's like, says who? Like, other people from Israel? People not from Israel? Who's making this determination? And that's the problem. Either go all the way and say this is a democratic document, or don't, and say that this is an encyclopedia managed by the 100 elite people of the Star Chamber of Wikipedia. But don't say that it's democratic and then undercut it when it doesn't meet your standards of democracy, I think.
I'm sorry, can you please explain this Star Chamber reference to me?
The Star Chamber was a secret court that was originally established back in the Renaissance to try members of state. Or criminals against the state, I guess I should say. People who would be treasonous. You couldn't sort of try them because of revealing state secrets and things like that. So the Star Chamber was established.
This was a Renaissance drama reference?
It's not a Renaissance drama. It's a Renaissance reference. And there have been, since that time, there have been other sort of examples of the Star Chambers, these sort of secret courts and stuff like that. So
wow.
I think it's like this group somewhere. For some reason, I have an image that they're in a Nordic country someplace. And they're sitting around listening to, you know, Swedish death metal and deciding, you know, which gets into Wikipedia and which doesn't. And that's a problem.
Had you heard of Star Chamber, Russ?
I thought it was a sci-fi reference.
I thought it was like some movie that I hadn't seen.
Ah, Nebulon, you have found the Star Chamber. We are doomed. The source of our power is now readily available to humans.
That's what I thought.
Please step slowly away from our star chamber and don't mention it to Hafsin from Norway.
The star chamber was an English court of law at the Palace of Westminster. It sat between 1487 and 1641 when the court itself was abolished. In modern usage, legal or administrative bodies with strict arbitrary rulings and secretive proceedings are sometimes called metaphorically or poetically star chambers.
Yeah, based on whose authority,
to the
Greg?
Body of Wikipedia. And Hurith. So, yeah. So,
okay.
I mean, so the point I have is just, I don't think it is what it says it is, A. And B, I don't think it's a legitimate source of information that students should be able to automatically cite, because we have no way of knowing if they're experts doing this or not. I don't know who
people,
this guy Freya is.
There's no way. If they're claiming that students can cite this?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I can show you a bunch of papers I just got that were all www.wikipedia.org. It's been all over the place, yeah.
Aren't there legitimate encyclopedias on the internet that you could cite?
Yeah, but they're not as cool as just typing Wikipedia and then having the democracy say, yes, this is true, or no, it's
That's
not.
So funny, because everyone says, like, don't, like, cite, like, random articles that this don't have any citations article. On the internet, and that's all. This doesn't even have, like, a citation as who wrote it.
And they say, the Wikipedia people say, like, oh, well, you know, our job here is to make sure that Wikipedia, you know, becomes seen as this sort of vetted document. Well,
okay, but what are their credentials?
Going the wrong direction, exactly. I'm like, who are you, exactly? One name star named as, you know, Geronson or Horaeth, or who the hell are you? You know, I don't know who you
okay,
are.
Okay, this is getting a little racist here against our kinfolk.
In Norway?
Right.
Okay, I apologize to Norwegians.
I'm Wikipedia, you're nothing!
All right, so let's talk about a rating here. Clea, you have a rating for Wikipedia?
I'm kind of neutral. I'm going to say a 5. Because I think it's a very cool philosophical concept.
I think it's a cool philosophical concept with lousy execution.
Yeah, but I can't help but feel you're being biased, Greg.
The reason, that's the problem, though. If my bias was able to affect your ability to say something, then you could accuse me of what Wikipedia does on a daily basis, which is prevent legitimate articles from going in and not on others, depending on what happens. Like, for example, the whole thing with when Russ put the thing in about Wesley Willis and crack cocaine, that's actually true. he actually wrote a song called I Smoke Crack Cocaine, and he did crack cocaine. But they were just, no, he can't possibly have smoked crack cocaine. Through the power invested in us, the members of the Star Chamber, we say no crack cocaine for Wesley Willis. And they ban his IP in case he wanted to do anything. I mean, come on. So, to me, a 3. Mm. Not democratic and not what it says it is.
Wikipedia. I mean, the whole theory behind Wikipedia is that instead of a bunch of elitist specialists writing the articles, it's
right.
basically the conglomeration of all average idiots who right. to put whatever they think on the internet, and it's equally as useful as everyone else. Which means I have to give it a 5, because that's what it is. It's a big stockpile of average people's thoughts that is posted on the internet. It has no meaning or speciality or anything. 5.
5 it is.
Alright, I'll go along with your 5. But it's a low 5. You hear me? A low 5. All right, last that we have up on the docket for today is Feed Me Bubby, right? Bubby?
Bubby.
Bubby.
Feed Me Bubby.
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 Feed Me Bubby.
Bubby.
And Bobby Kennedy.
Bobby Kennedy. Movie coming out.
And you can find this at www.chalutzproductions.com. That's Chalutz or Halutz Productions.com.
Halutz.
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 And basically, this is a vidcast that was submitted to us for review. This is produced, I believe it comes out about, I guess, once a week, once every
They don't really
weeks,
have
maybe.
Dates on them, so I don't know when they've
I'm
come
not
out.
Sure when, but it's
they've
about
come
this.
Up, they have up to 11 now.
Yeah.
They're timeless.
And it's this, a Jewish grandmother, and that's what is a Jewish grandmother, who is shown doing her different recipes, like right. basically putting together recipes for things like sweet and sour meatballs and kosher burgers and a sponge cake and chicken soup and fricassee. That's a coming soon, that episode.
And supposedly yeah. all her recipes are low fat, very easy,
except
very simple.
And not too fancy.
Not too fancy. For my little ones,
it's true.
All my grandkids that come over and love this dish and love that dish.
Yeah, and she says that all the time.
However, then she puts 6 eggs in.
And she says it's only 6 eggs.
This one is very easy. It only takes 6 eggs.
It's low fat compared to insta-death, like lard into your veins, I guess.
Compared to the training sequence in Rocky 1.
No raw eggs in a glass for that. Yeah, that's right.
And of course, you know, they're all legitimate recipes. So, yeah, they're kind of easy, but not really. All of these take like at least an hour, if not more, to prepare and cook.
Right. There's some recipes which seem a little curious to me, like the one that we did, they had a chicken soup series. And the last one of the chicken soup series, I think what they did was they used the chicken and boiled it to make the chicken soup to get stock.
Right.
Then they put the chicken into the pan, recooked it, which I may be misremembering my my sort of cooking, you know, home economics class entirely, but I seem to remember that you can't recook chicken. Like, that creates salmonella death and
No.
Well,
no, it's you can't defrost chicken and then refreeze it.
Oh, okay. Well, either way,
you cook the chicken and make the stock, then you take it out while it's still warm, and you put a little nice onion powder and a nice little garlic powder and a little bit of paprika, and then you broil it for 6 minutes, and then you have a nice meal for the kitties to eat.
You stick on a little biohazard sticker and you're done.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I mean, so the recipes are very basic, middle America, buy the ingredients at your local deli mart.
Yeah.
Plop them
on.
And
she does it in a standard, you know, electric stove. Typical. There's no fancy kitchen or anything like that. I will say, I really do think that, first of all, it looks like the food looks pretty good to me as she makes it. And it seems like, I think that she's actually pretty good on camera. I think that she, you know, she sort of, you know, she has the shtick down of the Jewish grandmother.
Yeah,
I think she
flubs kind of, a little bit, but it's
but
endearing.
It's endearing, you know. And she communicates it well. On the other hand, the host of the show, who is the one who actually submits it, I think he does a good job in putting the show together. But, Russ, do you want to comment about this?
What, you mean Woody Allen? He's just, it's a little over-dramatized. There's a reason why he didn't make a podcast about himself. He made it about his grandmother's cooking. I give him that. That was a smart move.
He knows his limitations.
That's right.
Well, I mean, like, and they have in the middle of every show the Yiddish word of the day. So that's where he's just like, all right, what's the Yiddish word of the day? And he's got sound effects. Like, at one point they have an ask questions segment? And
yeah,
so
that went, that
the ask questions segment. And you see her going over the phone and picking it up.
Yeah, the whole introduction thing took longer than the actual segment.
Well, there's a rap song. It's like, asking questions. You know, there's this Jewish grandmother going to the phone to pick up the phone.
The greatest part of that segment was when she flipped out when the question was, can we have more low-fat recipes? And she's like, what do you mean? They are low-fat. Only 6 eggs. You can use egg substitute. And don't use lard. Use a cow's head. See if I can. I swear to God. I don't know why I do this for you. I'm just going to go hang myself in the bathroom. See how you like it then when you don't have cocoa all day.
Yeah, I did think she went a little overboard.
Not that Russ has any experience with Jewish grandmothers ever. mostly what we're doing is teasing. I mean, I actually think it's kind of a fun show. I think that you know, I think she does a good job with it.
And they
I think
all ran
he
about what?
Well. I just
like,
don't think him on the
what,
show.
What, like 15? I mean,
10 to 15 minutes probably. And it's, you know, and they've got their website's fine. The website's fairly clear.
It's very boring.
He's very
yeah.
good at like, he has these coming attractions, though. Like, he has this teaser on the latest one that says, on December 17th, 2006, watch as one Jewish grandmother takes one drop of oil and makes it last for 8 days. And that's like, okay, that's Hanukkah, but it must be like some Hanukkah cooking special. Like, she's going to use the same drop of oil to make, you know, the same product.
I'd like to see her be able to cook with only one drop of oil.
I know. It's low fat. Why don't you realize it's low
fat? She took that chicken and she spread, I don't know what kind of oil over it before the onion powder and the garlic powder and the paprika. So
she made like spaghetti or something. Didn't need any oil at all. So, like, she puts a drop of oil at the end. Look, spaghetti for a week.
One drop of oil. But I think, you know, on the whole, I think it's endearing. I can see why people would like it. And I think that I think it's the kind of thing that he's done a good job at promoting it. And, you know, I think it's filmed pretty well. I think it's, you know, I think he does a good job at sort of focusing in, like cooking shows do, on the mixing bowl or whatever it is that she's working on at the moment. Yeah. And as I say, the key is whether she's, you know, telegenic and whether she comes across well in the show. And I think that she does. And that's really the key to the show. So, so I think it's pretty good. I would be inclined to give this, I'd say, like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I was going to say 7.
My only qualms with it are they mispronounce the word in the title. They say Bubby, it's Bubby. And I also like the rambling stories that she tells when she gets a little too much camera time and not direction. But.
I also love how she said that the Yiddish word for college student is college student with a Yiddish accent.
You didn't know that?
That was a direct quote from her. It's college student with a Yiddish accent is Yiddish for college student.
The Yiddish podcast of the day is upon further review.
It would be review further upon, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Left to right.
Oh, man.
So, all right, a 7 out of 10.
Well, he didn't give a rating.
Oh, right, right.
I give it a 7, which is Yiddish for 7.
A 7 out of 10, or feed me booby.
All right.
Right? I think I got it right that time.
No, it's Bubby.
It's Bubby. Booby.
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 I'm 7 out of Booby. 10 for them. So we want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. We hope that everyone has plenty of food and, you know, has family around and friends and all that good stuff. And we want to thank everybody, as usual, for listening and tuning in. We will see you guys next week. We want to, again, thank Russ for coming out all the way just to do the show, just to fly out for Eagles.
You didn't have to do that, Russ.
Yeah, that was really kind of you.
It's the only reason why I came.
We appreciate that. And we will see you guys next week for Upon Further Review. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And I'm Russ.
See ya. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!